Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking something a little different theme today on Intelligent Medicine. We're talking about aesthetics and beauty, but not just superficial aesthetics. We're talking about the linkage between inner balance and health and overall good appearance. Our guest is Kat James. She's the award-winning author of The Truth About Beauty. That's a book that you can get, right, Kat? Where can you obtain that? Mm-hmm. Usual sources?
Sure. Anywhere that you would normally get your books.
Okay. She also has a website at informedbeauty.com. And you consult with patients?
Yeah. I call them clients.
Clients, right.
Because I'm not an MD.
Got it.
And so I really, it's informational purposes, but over, you know, the 15 years, what I did for myself, I wanted to see if it could be done with other people. So I started, being from the mainstream beauty world, had beauty cruises, believe it or not, and mm-hmm. sort of tricked people into eating the way that I eat and saw a lot of pretty incredible metabolic changes. And it's happened more and more frequently as I've honed this and discovered a lot of very surprising things that stop this flip into sensitivity to leptin and insulin. Always comes hand in hand. It's been incredible to observe what happens and also see what certain supplements can do. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of your favorite supplements. In addition to the probiotics, you mentioned Dr. Ahira's in part one of today's podcast. What other supplements do you find beneficial for the skin overall balance, for the metabolism?
Yeah. You know, and obviously nothing is more important than metabolically getting things right, and being a human being who doesn't constantly have elevated cortisol, for example. So adaptogens I found helpful, that whole class of herbs that sort of buffers our reaction to stress. Things that can help stabilize blood sugar, certainly omega-3 fatty acids. In fact, those, along with the probiotics, I would say are gatekeepers, because any of these supplements, even the L-tyrosine that helped heal my dopamine receptors and took away some of that addictive biochemistry, right along with my sensitivity to leptin, also does that. They would not have been absorbed or utilized if I had not got my gut back. And so I do think of the probiotic thing as a gatekeeper, and sleep as a gatekeeper. So if melatonin helps you, and fat and nutrient density and avoiding sugar are a huge recipe for sleeping again. Fat makes people sleep again in the absence of sugar, and in nutrient density, it takes away anxiety so strongly I probably wouldn't legally be able to tell you how strongly it will go away in response to that. Yeah.
Well, that's fabulous. Okay, so can you give specific advice to young people who go to dermatologists? They suffer from acne, and they're given ever more powerful medications. First antibiotics, topical caustic medications to kill the bacteria, and then ultimately Accutane. Could there be a better path for them? You know, it's hard to tell young people to eat healthy, because to tell them that they're going to live longer, because as far as they're concerned, they're immortal. They're going to live forever. So can you get them on the hook for better diet with the promise that their skin will clear up?
Exactly, and that aesthetic promise is what they respond to. And if you look at Asians coming to the United States, they get acne. What's the difference? It's the quality of the fat, and it's the amount of sugar and starch. So, like you said, no trans fats immediately. But stubborn acne is also found to have an autoimmune component. Again, if you have an imbalance in the gut bacteria, you're not going to win the battle unless you get the probiotics going and stop the assaults from the outside that make the skin vulnerable. Omega fats, but cutting out sugar and cutting out the wrong fats that you eat internally, it works when nothing. You can do your thing that you looked at on an infomercial at midnight and do this incredible $800 regimen, but it is not going to create beautiful skin. It's not going to create the skin you were ever meant to have. It's going to create a dead, dried out skin, and all of your health problems are there. So you could be using your external health problem, what you see in the mirror, as an opportunity to do the right thing from the inside out. You're going to change your life. You're going to change your trajectory for how long you live and the quality of your life.
Well, I remember talking to Lauren Cordain, who I'm sure you're familiar with. He's the originator of the Paleo Diet. And actually, on his website, there's an offering of an e-book entitled The Paleo Diet for Acne. And he has a case series of individuals who've undertaken that diet, which is, of course, sugar-free, dairy-free, grain-free, and free of many modern accoutrements of the Western diet.
Yeah.
That has restored skin to normalcy. Has that been your experience?
Oh, I don't doubt it for a minute. And the only caveat that I would say there is the excess protein that tends to be non-paleo diets. And it's absolutely my experience. And so without the sugar, and I have a little bit of a different take on dairy. High-fat dairy is interesting. There's not the sugar in the dairy, and also because the hormone leptin modulates immunity, there's no reaction to, in general, there are no food sensitivities. Hmm. And people who have had any issues with dairy do it beautifully. And we actually need some cholesterol, so we need some of these sources, preferably from grass-fed animals. But many people who had issues with dairy, I think, are also cutting it out needlessly. And again, the emphasis on higher fat ratio, because when people do paleo, and if they have a sugar thing, they're going to binge on protein, which excess protein turns to sugar.
Yes, I mean, there's a pathway that protein comes back to sugar. But so, what constitutes excess protein? You know, 22-ounce sirloin steaks, or how should one deploy protein in a low carb diet?
Sure. Dr. Ron Rosedale had mentioned, I want to make sure I get this right, half a gram per pound of lean mass, which you can figure by going back to your healthiest weight, your college, whatever your healthiest weight was, take 10% off, and that would be your lean mass. And it winds up looking like about two of your palm size pieces. That would be for someone who's not very active. And then per day, I mean, the thickness and the size of your palm, two of those of pure protein worth in a day. And you can go a little higher if you're healing from something, if you're very active or in athletics. That's not a whole lot.
Where do you get the fat from? What are the desirable sources of fat in this time? Because obviously you're really cutting carbs. You need some caloric sources, and fat also produces the satiety that you want to slow down the appetite.
Yeah. And if you do decide to go all the way and really cut out carbs, you're not cutting them out completely because you're eating fiber carbs, of course, vegetable carbs, especially greens. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to look for fat sources. You're going to sate yourself. You're going to get yourself sated with fat as the remainder of what you're eating. It's not like a big plate full of fat, because your appetite goes down if you do this the right way. It goes way down. And so a lot of people in paleo times, they went for the fat. When they killed the buffalo, they wanted that fat right under the skin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They wanted the organ meats. They weren't going for the lean, little, lovely, filet mignon, which I love. But now I'm more of a ribeye woman. And good beef, when you go to the store, turn it around. Don't get the leanest beef. Go to a nice market where you can get grass-fed. And get the fattier kind of burger, but there are ways of making soups and duck fat and some great companies. U.S. Wellness Meat has great mm-hmm. sources of all these different kinds of fat.
I'm all over that. I just opened up two packages of U.S. Wellness lamb.
Yay.
And made myself a great lamb stew. So it may surprise you to hear this, but I'm currently on day 30 of the Whole 30 diet. Not that I intend to abandon it, but as you might know, it's a diet that has no legumes, no grains,
Yeah.
Lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. It does allow some starchy vegetables like potatoes and sweet potatoes and squash. I don't think I could do without those because I'm at a very high level of physical activity, and I'm lucky. I'm at my desired weight. My object wasn't to lose weight. But I tell you, I feel great on it.
Yeah. See, I would say, and Dr. Hoffman, you know, you're very fit, and I would call you, kind of a Tarzan type. but I will tell you that you would be mind blown if you, there's always a subconscious, very strong feeling that someone needs those other things. You know, they're not listed on the list of essential nutrients. Carbs aren't even essential nutrients. And what amazes people, if they get through what I call the day of reckoning, and I had a conversation about this with an author of an upcoming book, The Obesity Code, Dr. Jason Fung out of Toronto, who couldn't believe sort of my hands-on what I had observed and how I make this happen long term. But there is a day of reckoning. He said that's a really good name for it. And it is that day when not only you're going to have yeast die off, but your body's former preferred fuel, which it only should be in a famine, sugar, becomes fat. And there is a day where the body says, no, give me the old fuel. And it's a little bit of a scary day if you don't in advance know what it's like. But it is a day of withdrawal. And once that day is over, and it's fascinating to watch groups of people do this on day four, day three, day four, come out of it, and just, I feel incredible. I do not care about that junk that's sitting over there. Yeah.
I think I've reached escape velocity on that because it wasn't like I was consuming a lot of junk or a lot of sugar, but, I had my 85% dark chocolate in maybe two large quantities. And, so there were elements of sugar in the diet. And you really do get to that point of, sort of indifference to it. In fact, what's interesting, I've found, is the degree to which you taste sweetness in ordinary foods. My taste buds are much sharper. When I put
100%.
A little.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
I just find the fruits are much sweeter without added sugar.
Totally.
The vegetables, even the vegetables are sweeter. A salad is sweet.
Yeah, it's incredible because a cherry tomato will taste like dessert. Mm-hmm. And everyone, when they, at the beginning, I'm not going to have that, or I'm not going to, you won't know until you're there, but you're not going to care. You won't smell things the same way, and even, you'll start to even taste a good 100% chocolate and say, wow, what tasted like cardboard 2 days ago.
Exactly.
Starting to taste interesting.
That's what I've done interestingly, they do offer 100% cocoa, or there's a bar that's a 99% chocolate, which I used to disdain because it just tasted like bitter, ashes in my mouth. Now I don't have as much of it because it's not that delectable, but I'll have a couple of squares of that, and it's really quite tasty and satisfying.
Yeah. Very satisfying. That's right. And you can change in one day. Just having 59% can make you suddenly not able to even taste that 85% bar. Mm. So it's amazing how fast they change the taste buds.
Yeah, they sort of adjust to the food that you eat. And I think I really encourage folks to check out your program or work with you or check out some program by which you experience this. Because once you experience it, we can tell you, till the cows come home, don't eat sugar, don't eat this, don't eat that. But you have to experience it, and then you will be self-directed on this. You will say, I'd love to eat all this other stuff. It tastes pretty good. I see the pizza ads on TV and that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But the benefits are so great when I don't have that stuff that I just, there's no turning back.
But the woman that I was, Dr. Hoffman, the woman that I was, if she was listening to this, she would be like, And I have to tell her, anyone who's listening and saying, that does not sound like fun to me to be living with that. You don't have to. So there's culinary innovations. I eat cheesecake on a regular basis. And I do chocolate, white cocoa butter bark. Sometimes I do the dark
that
chocolate.
That doesn't sound too bad.
That
doesn't sound too shabby.
And there's all sorts of amazing things to eat, and you don't. It's decadent. You feel sorry for what people ate, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think these types of diets also make you much more careful about food selection because I think, to use a word that's a little charged, we eat very promiscuously. And, I think that we should not be, you know, completely fixated on every morsel we eat, but I think we should eat mindfully and carefully, and as if every meal counts towards our overall health. You know, without making it a toil.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's no portion control. It's very hard for someone who knew the calorie count of everything to do. And but when, like, these women at a recent program
weighing things,
your period come back, your hair loss reverse, you see all the menopausal symptoms reverse, and your sanity comes back, and your digestion and your hair starts growing. It's all of a sudden you're like, this is a world I want to live in, and you really gain a real distaste for the other things that you were eating.
Apropos of which, Better Nutrition magazine recently featured two of your menopause makeovers. What's that about?
So they just happened to be menopause makeovers, so we decided to give that title to the article. But two women arrived in Brentwood, California last summer, and one was falling apart. It had everything. I've never run into someone who had, I'm sure you have, just the acid reflux, the hypothyroid, not able to sleep.
I have those patients every day. It's like, welcome to my world.
And I see them all the time, but this one had everything in one person,
right.
You know? And so her periods had stopped, the weight had come on, she was belching and sensitive to everything that she was eating, and she turned a corner. Literally everything turned around to the point where about 3 weeks later, you couldn't see the spaces between. She was growing in this little baby hair, and her husband kept on touching her scalp and saying, where's the spaces? And it grew back. And this is the second time that hair has grown back from a Hashimoto's kind of thing. And then another woman at the same program, her period came back a week later. The other one, her period came back at the program. I've had this happen after 5 years. People have to eat fat. They have to think about this. You can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is this master hormone, leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N. People can do a PubMed search. It affects everything. And we resensitize it to it the very same way that we resensitize to insulin. And there is no type 2 diabetes happening, and a great benefit to type 1 and sometimes reversal when you have this hormone actually functioning, and every human needs it to function.
Well, absolutely. And I think the tools are there. It's just a question of accessing them. So what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? First of all, about you, Kat James, you offer a program at informedbeauty.com, the Total Transformation Program. How can people tap into that?
Sure. They can visit informedbeauty.com or call 877-54-TOTAL. And we've got a mountain program coming up March 21st through 26th. I also do online programs when people can't leave, and it's a really effective protocol or format. So that's how they can learn about it. My book, The Truth About Beauty, not as precise nor biochemically strict as the program, but that's available. And as far as that aesthetic area, every kind of skin thing is addressed in some pretty good charts in that book, too.
Yeah, the book has to be probably a little more generic for general, the general public, but you hone in on people's problems and individualize the program in your Total Transformation program. And also, in relation to the products that we mentioned earlier in part one, Dr. Adhira's probiotic and skincare products.
Yeah, and so you'll find the probiotic in any good health food store, Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shop, etc. The skincare, the topical, the Magaroku or the Kampuku Beauty Bar, they are less available, but you can probably order them, or you can go to an Essential Formulas website to find out where they are. Yeah.
Well, great stuff. And congratulations on your own personal transformation, and now you're giving back being a really shining example to your clients. With a great deal of expertise, I'm really impressed with your scientific knowledge and understanding of this complex field.
Thank you.
You really are walking the walk and talking the talk. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care.
That was Kat James, the award-winning author of The Truth About Beauty. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.